So Psalm 91 says this, the first four verses. Whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in... Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. At this time, it's crazy to think that the whole of our country is in lockdown. People are living in their homes and not going out and doing the things that they would normally do. For me, I've spent way less money on petrol this week, and I've spent way less money on little bits and pieces that I'd perhaps buy in the shops. But we've adapted as a nation, and because of the severity of what's going on, we've obeyed the leaders of our country, and we've stayed in our homes and gone for little bursts of exercise through the week. And as we look at news stories from around the world, it's so easy to be fearful. As Christians, I think that our safe place, our refuge, is the Lord God Almighty. And we're going to look at some of those things in a minute. But I would say to you, I don't know what your week's been like this week, but it's very easy, because we want to stay connected to what's going on the outside world, that we are constantly on our phones and constantly on our devices, and we're looking up this and we're looking up that, and we're listening to this and we're listening to that. But this is an opportunity for us at the moment, church, to draw aside, to be with God, to worship Him, to praise Him and to pray to Him and to enjoy Him. And there are so many distractions now that we can have digitally that sometimes we lose focus on the one who is really the source of everything good that we need at the moment. And this psalm reminds us that instead of running to a person or running to a web page or running to an app or running to a news channel, that we are to run to the Lord. So it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So firstly, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High. The Most High is one of the names of God. It's actually in the Hebrew, Elyon, which means the highest. It means that He's highest over everything. He's greater than everything. You can't get higher than God. God is supreme. Imagine going into a shop and not being happy with some of the customer service you've received. And so you say, I demand to see the manager. Because you want to go higher, you want to go to the highest person in the shop, and then you speak to the manager, and the manager isn't able to help you, not able to reassure you, and so you demand to go to the chief executive officer of the whole thing. And the chief executive officer speaks to you and treats you abysmally, and so you say, well, I'm going to write to the prime minister, or I'm going to go to the high court, and you appeal to the highest possible power to get your case heard. And what I want to say today is God shows Himself as Elyon, the Most High, to be the one who is supreme, the one who is highest. You can't get higher than Him. And so in this psalm it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That word shelter, if you read through the psalms, which I've been doing this week, I've been so blessed, by the way. If you get the opportunity to just open the psalms and just take a selection of those psalms and just read and meditate on some of the words there, they have every single human emotion, and whatever you're going through, there'll be a psalm that really addresses the emotion behind that. But as you read the psalms, there are some really interesting psalms that talk in the same language about God being our shelter, or God being our fortress, or he's the one that we run to under the shadow of His wings, and all of that kind of language. And even in Proverbs, there's this famous proverb that you probably all know about. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The Most High God is our shelter. He is the one that we run to in times of trouble. And there's an interesting passage in Judges, I don't know if you've ever come across this before, which actually describes this, which is a metaphor, in a real situation. It says, then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. So Abimelech was the king coming against a fortified city. It says, but there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city fled there to this strong tower, and they shut themselves in, and then they went up to the top of the tower. And this verse in Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. And are safe in Hebrew actually talks about climbing high into this tower to the place of maximum safety. And so as Christians, we have a God who is the most high God, the supreme power in all of the universe. And we can run to him. And he is like a fortified tower against which nobody can come and nobody can penetrate, and no power is going to ever destroy that tower. God is our safe place. And it says there, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What does that mean? In the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, may your name be kept holy. Hallowed be your name. And so there's something that's precious and holy about the names of God. And there's something about understanding who God is that helps us to understand the security that we have in him. So I might say to my dad, I might say to dad, hi dad if you're watching, I might say daddy, I might call him daddy, or I might call him my provider. This is when I was a kid. I might say, daddy, you're the one who puts the meals on the table, you're the one who goes out to work to earn a salary, to keep us all clothed and a roof above our heads. Daddy, you're the one who laughs at my jokes. Daddy, you're the one who corrects me when I'm naughty. I could use all of those phrases, and the more names I use to describe my dad, the more you understand his character. And it's the same with God. God has many, many names. So here are a few. Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is present. Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord is our healer. Jehovah Sikenu, which means the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Roi, the strong one who sees. El Shaddai, the God of the mountains, or God Almighty. El Olam, the everlasting God. God has so many names, and as we meditate on the names of the God of God, we understand who he is more and more. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and when we understand who God is, more and more we trust him and we run to him, and he becomes the place of our refuge. So that's the first one, that the Lord is our shelter. And then it goes on to talk like this. It says, those who shelter under the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I love this. Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I just think of it like a huge mountain casting a shadow, and you standing in the vastness of that shadow. Think about the hugeness of who God is, and he has your back. He is, if he's your God, if he's your Father, he has your back. All of his power and all of his might and majesty are behind you, casting a shadow over your life. And it says, we will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I heard a story about a little boy, and he was playing in a sandpit, and he had his little red fire truck, and he was going up and down where the sand was uneven, and he was just playing in the sandpit. And then he came across a big boulder in the middle of this sand, and he was like, oh, I need to move this boulder because it's in the way of my fire truck. And so he pushed, but he couldn't move this boulder, and he got his little plastic spade, and he began to dig around this boulder, and he couldn't shift this boulder, and he was like, oh, what am I gonna do? And then he started crying. And in the window, looking out into the garden, his dad was standing there, and his dad came out and he sat next to his son. He said, son, why didn't you use all the strength that you had to move this boulder? And he said, Daddy, I did. I used all my strength and I still couldn't move the boulder. And Daddy said, no, you didn't use all your strength because you didn't call on me. And during this time, it's very easy for us in our own strength to try and fix things, to try and overcome our fears by going online and trying to find solutions or answers online. But the one that we need to run to is God, and it's His strength that we need. Don't try and fix this on your own. Don't try and come up with solutions. Don't try and find answers online or from your friends or your family. The Lord is your safe place. Run to Him, and we can find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God is our strength, and in His presence we can be at rest. And then it goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now that is interesting because it says, I will say of the Lord. What are you saying today? What are the words that are coming out of your mouth today? Who are you proclaiming to be in control of this situation that we're facing at the moment? Is it somebody, or is it something, or is it God Almighty? And it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And I would encourage us today as a church to declare the goodness of God, to declare out loud that He is the one who is our provider, He is the one who is our healer, He is the one who is our righteousness, He is the one who is our peace, He is our shepherd. And just to declare the goodness of God, let the words of God be on your lips. Let the truth about God be on your lips. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And so when you're feeling afraid, let me encourage you today, declare that the Lord is your refuge. He is your fortress. Now this picture here of a fortress, back in the day when we didn't have society as it is now, there were fortified cities, and those fortified cities needed to have a big strong wall with towers all around because people would come and try and ransack those cities. And there are not just coronavirus, but we have an enemy of our soul who wants to destroy. The Bible actually says that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life in all of its fullness. And so when the enemy wants to attack our lives, and when coronavirus wants to come and bring fear into our hearts, He is our fortress. And we hide behind His walls. And we declare that God is the one who is like a strong wall around us. He is our refuge against the oncoming armies and the attacks of the enemy, even the onslaught of coronavirus as it approaches. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is the one in whom I trust. And there are a few other scriptures that say the same kind of things, and I just want to encourage you by showing you a few. Let's look at this one. God is our refuge and our strength. Maybe even say this to yourself right now out loud. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God is ever-present in our trouble, and because of that, we will not fear. And next. In Jeremiah, these are Jeremiah's own words, the beginning of a prayer that he prayed. He said, Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. And so when you're praying, why not come to the Lord and say, Lord, you are my strength, you are my fortress, you are my refuge in times of distress. Next. And then this one, I love this one, Psalm 31. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you. If you're a child of God today, I want you to know, you probably already know this theoretically, but I want this to be a revelation to you today. How abundant are the good things that the Lord has stored up for you. And then it goes on to say that you bestow. Not only are these good things stored up, But he pours them into our lives, that he bestows these good things to us in the sight of all. And the thing about being a Christian is people get to look on at our life and see the goodness of God worked out in all sorts of amazing ways. And it says, you bestow these good things in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you, in the shelter of your presence. And so the metaphor is of a strong tower, but the strong tower is really speaking about the Lord's presence, and that we take refuge in the Lord's presence. And that is the place where we experience all of the goodness of God. In the New Testament, in the book of James, it says that God is our Father, and that he is the Father of heavenly lights, and from him proceed every good and perfect gift. Today, if you're a child of God, all of these good things are stored up for you, and the Lord wants to bestow them on you as you take refuge in the shelter of his presence. Isn't that awesome? I feel like I want to have a praise break. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, that you are our shelter. It's in your presence, Lord, that we discover all of the goodness that is in your heart, that you store up for us and bestow on us. We give you all of the glory, and we say, Lord, we long to be there. In Jesus' name, amen. And then Psalm 91 continues. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you. Sorry, I think I've gone too far there. Oh yeah. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. So, deadly pestilence. That's the coronavirus. Pestilence is these kind of viruses and spreading diseases. That's what the Bible means when it talks about pestilence. And so it says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Now, the fowler's snare is a way of trapping birds. And here's a picture. It's not a very pleasant picture, unfortunately, but it's a picture of a bird that's been ensnared in a net. And there are all sorts of clever ways to do this. And so people have different strategies to trap birds, but there are fowler's snares. And what you need to know about fowler's snares is they are a trap, and they have been set secretly in order to entrap you. And because we're Christians and we know that we have an enemy of our soul, the enemy wants to entrap us. And there are all sorts of ways that the devil loves to trap us. One of the ways is sexual impurity. And there are many other ways, money and power and reputation. He wants to trap us in his own systems, in his own ways of thinking, so that we can't experience the fullness of life that Jesus gives us. But it says, surely, say after me in your homes, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Surely God, who is the Most High God, who is your God, your Father, your best friend, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Surely he will set you free. Because that's the God he is. He loves to set people free. And there is never a situation that you find yourself in that God isn't able to set you free from. And it goes on to say, not only will he save us from the fowler's snare, but he will also save us from deadly pestilence. So he can even save us from this, from coronavirus and the whole situation that's going on in our nation. And so I would encourage you to pray with faith to a God who is able, and say when you pray, not if you could, Lord God, but surely you will save us from this deadly pestilence. Let me just talk about save. What does the word save mean? To save someone makes them a saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ is our saviour, and he has saved us. What does it mean that he saved us? It means that he saved us from sin, from the power of sin in our lives, from even death itself, because those who trust in him can say that they have a hope that reaches beyond this lifetime into eternity. And so today, if you don't know Jesus, let me tell you all about him. He is the most amazing person that you will ever meet. He's not a dead historical figure. Yes, he did die on the cross to take our place for the sins that we've committed so that we wouldn't have to be punished. He was punished in our place. But the Bible also says that he came back from the dead, and 3 days after he hung on the cross, he was raised back to life again, and now sits at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. And so you don't just worship a dead historical figure like Muhammad or Buddha, who were people who are revered as wise and spiritual people, but are now dead. We know that Jesus is wise. We know that he's spiritual. Some people thought he was a prophet. Some people thought he was just a good man. Some people just thought he was a wise teacher. But when he came back from the dead, he was declared with power to be the Son of God. And so today, I want you to know that you can know him. Christianity isn't just a religion. Religions can't save you, but people can save you. And Jesus is the one who was sent by the Father to take on our humanity, to become like us, so that he could take our place on the cross and die in our place for the sins that we've committed, so that we wouldn't have to be separated from God, that we could have a relationship with our Father restored, that we could have fullness of life now and live to serve him with all of our hearts, and know that even when this life expires and this earthly shell is laid down, that we have eternal life and we'll see him face to face. You can know him today. On the 22nd of May in 1994, I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life. I didn't have fancy words. I had a longing in my heart. And with the words that I had, which were few, I just said, Lord, I need you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my very best friend. I want you to come into my life and I want you to save me. And he forgave my sin. And he took away the power of that sin over my life so that I didn't have to live the way that I used to live. And he gave me a hope, and he gave me a future, and he gave me meaning, and he gave me purpose. And so now I'm standing before this little digital camera in my front room preaching to people who many of you I will never have met before, and most of you I do know. But I'm doing this because Jesus saved me. And I know that he saved me, and he can save you too. Surely he will save us from the foulest snare and from deadly pestilence. And then finally it goes on to say this. He will cover you with his feathers. Wow. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. That speaks of intimacy. That speaks of relationship. And so he's not just a strong tower built with stones. He has paternal instincts towards you. He loves you. He cares for you. And he's inviting you into a safe place where he wants to envelop you in his embrace, cover you with his wings so that you are safe and you find a refuge in him. Faith is a funny thing. Faith is putting our trust in someone or something. So when I sit on a chair, I put my faith in the chair that it won't collapse beneath me. Some of our chairs in the kitchen are a bit wobbly at the moment, and Maggie's a bit concerned, you know, because I haven't lost as much weight as I was hoping to, that some of those chairs might collapse. But every time I sit on them anyway, I feel that they're going to support my weight. I put trust in them to support my weight. And in people, over time, you learn that you can trust some people. And so the more they prove trustworthy, the more trust you put in them. And that's very much the case. And with God, he has proven to me so many times that he is trustworthy. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the word of God is the truth that God reveals in the Bible and also prophetically. And so as God speaks, as you read these words in the scriptures and you meditate on the truths of those words, as you take the word of God and hide it in your heart. And I said a few weeks ago that we need to have the word of God in us. And the way we get the word of God in us is to be in the word of God. And so we need to have patterns. And, you know, at the moment we've got time on our hands. We need to make sure that we're bringing the word of God, opening the word of God, reading the word of God, hiding it in our hearts. But the word of God is what produces faith in us. And when we trust God, he becomes the one that we run to in times of trouble. Not just that we have a theoretical understanding that God is all-powerful. We know that he's the creator God, that he made everything with a word. We know that he was the one that parted the seas so that people could walk through on dry land. We know he's the one that provided manna in the wilderness and water from a rock. We know that God is theoretically powerful and able to do all of these things. But it's different to say those things. Sorry, it's different to actually put our lives in a place where we're relying on the truth of those things rather than just saying those things. To illustrate the point, there was a man who was a trapeze artist, a circus performer called Blondin, and he lived in the 18th century. And he used to amaze people by going on high wire, like a high wire. He used to balance with a big stick on a high wire. Not a trapeze artist, that's a swinging thing, isn't it? But you know what I'm saying. He used to walk along wires with a long stick. And one time he put a long cable above Niagara Falls. And it was a huge walk from one side to the other. And people gathered and they were, you know, they had this morbid fascination, probably half expecting him to fall off and plummet to his death 600 feet below. But he did it nonetheless. He strung this wire across Niagara Falls, and with this long stick, he balanced from one side of the canyon to the other. And then he came back again. And then the second time, he would carry something on his back, a backpack, and he would go to one side, and then he'd come back. And the crowds were cheering. They'd never seen anything, just one foot carefully in front of the other, from one side to the other. And then he decided that he would try to ride a bicycle. He rode a bicycle along this cable from one side to the other, and the crowds were going crazy. And then he pushed a wheelbarrow with some potatoes in it from one side and then back again, and the crowd were going wild. And then he said to the crowd, "Who believes that I could push a man in this wheelbarrow from this side to that side and back again?" And the whole crowd are like, "Yeah, yeah, we believe. We believe that you can do that because you are the greatest high wire artist in the whole world." And then he said to the crowd, "So who's going to be the person to get in to the wheelbarrow?" And that is real faith. Not just saying that we believe, but putting our life in the place where our words line up with our life. And with God, we can say we believe, we can say we have faith, but actually living a life of faith is something very different. And to say that God is our strong tower, that he is our refuge, that it's in his shadow that we shelter, and he is our safe place, means that we put our words into action. And not just proclaim truths so that they trip off the tongue, but actually that we run to him, that we pursue him, that we give him our lives, that he is our all in all. And so put down your device, close Facebook, shut down Instagram, give God the best portion of your day. Don't get so consumed with your online feeds and the news reports on the TV that you forget to run to the one who is truly in control, the God who is able, the Most High God, your Father. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the awesome truth that you are our refuge, that you are our strength, that you are our strong tower, and that it's under your wing that we find a place of safety. And so today, we declare the name of Jesus to be the name that is above every name. And we come to him as our Saviour and as our Lord. And we say, Father, we can't control any of this. The government are trying really hard to control this, but they can't control any of this. but you are in control, seated on the throne, above and beyond all of this. And so we come to you, our safe place, our refuge, our fortress, our strength. We love you, Lord. Amen.